Yep, there it's Ephesians chapter 6. Some very familiar reading. Just hang tight. If I don't have these hankies with me, I'll be in trouble. Ephesians chapter 6, some very familiar reading. It says, finally. Now, I don't know what was going on, but finally, Paul just said, you ever just finally. Finally, my brother, he's telling them to do what? To be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I think every one of us understands the importance of that, especially in the time and age we live in. And then he goes to tell about an armor, and he is getting this information from the Roman soldier, their armor, how it went together and what it protected. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the first thing you and I have a responsibility to do as we live in this life, is to stand. It pains me so much to see Christians fall apart, as I say all the time, like a $2 toy. We got to quit doing that. We got to make our mind up, I'm not going to do that. I know that's not an option with me. I'm not going to fall apart. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we got to believe that and apply that to our life. So he said, put on the whole armor of God for the simple reason that you can stand. And then he tells you, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting each other. We're not mad at each other. We're not trying to get one up on each other. We're not trying to look better than one another. But he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but here's who we wrestle against. Principalities. He calls them powers. He calls them rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be, again, he says, to stand. That's an important theme here, to stand. In the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. To be strong in the power of his might. We got to do something. He tells us to do what? To put on the armor. It's a responsibility. When you read in the Bible and he's telling you to do something, put on the whole armor of God. And for whatever reason, I don't know why he uses the word, but finally, maybe they just, finally, my brethren, after all I've said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And the reason we do that is that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Strength and power is necessity. It's a necessity. You've got to understand it's a necessity. Because I don't know if we understand it or not, but we are in a battle for our own souls and for the souls of others, the world around us. We are in a constant conflict with the forces of evil, the forces of hell, day in and day out. And one of the church's greatest demands is to be able to discern between the spiritual struggle and the social, personal, and political differences we face in this world. Otherwise, believers become too easily detoured. Have you ever seen somebody that's just can't focus? You want to strap their head in one direction and say, just look at me for a second. Quit looking there, look at me. A lot of us are too easily distracted. We end up wrestling with human adversaries instead of warring against the invisible forces of hell that is all around us every single day. We've got to understand there is warfare going on. And it's against the forces of hell. It's not against those that we sit in service with. It is not even against those who we disagree with. I disagree with 60 million people because that's who voted for the other side. I disagree with those, but I'm not at war with those. We sometimes cut those people off and that's it. You don't have to listen to what they say. You don't have to entertain what they say, but I'm not at war with them. My job is trying to get them to see my point of view. Did not Jesus tell us to do what? He said, occupy till I come. And so that meaning that the word occupy means that we need to be out and about, amen, doing the Father's business, and that is engaging the forces of hell. We aren't to run. We aren't to hide. We aren't to back up. So long the body of Christ has put themselves in a box and we don't want to come out of it. For so long we are afraid that we will be ridiculed and we will be persecuted. And the political correctness is not the way the church should talk and the way the church should say, because I'm telling you what, sin, sin, and we need to stand up and begin to proclaim that. And there is a hell that we need to shun and a heaven that we need to gain. And so I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to let the enemy stuff my shout or cloud my vision. Hey man, I've got a job to do, and that job is to declare war on him every single day that I'm on the face of the earth. I'm declaring war on the devil and his forces. We've got to understand the warfare is real. It's against him. It's not against each other. If we could only see, and I think God sometimes he ought to allow us to see into the spiritual world, we would see active battles going on between heaven and hell. And the prize of these battles is the human race. And our assignment is to confront evil by the name of Jesus so that the evil will be driven back and the kingdom of God will advance. We are kingdom people. Let's get about advancing the kingdom today. Ephesians, as we read there in 10 and 11, amen, tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. It's time, amen, we get on our big boy britches and be strong in the Lord. It's time we quit whining. It's time we quit complaining. It's time we quit boo-hooing about if it doesn't go our way. Amen, things aren't always going to go our way, but what we need to do is, amen, no matter what I face, no matter what comes down the pike, amen, my responsibility is to be strong in the Lord. Amen. So quit your whining. Amen. Quit your complaining. Amen. Get on your knees and begin to seek God like you've never sought God before. And say, God, I want to be strong in you. I want to have the power of your might. I want to be able to stand and then say in the name of Jesus and see things accomplished. I'm here to tell you people, we are. Amen, the body of Christ. Amen, we are the only hope that this world has. We are the only ones standing, amen, between the cross and hell. And we've got to stand up and we got to proclaim, amen, that Jesus is Lord, that he's still on the throne. And the only way we can do that is we've got to be strong. And it is might and it is power. And get about being what the church has been called to be today. Be strong in the power of the Lord. And then you've got to put on the whole armor of God, not part of it, but all of it, that you may be able to stand. Let lets me know that the devil's coming after you to see what you're made of. Because Peter tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. As Peter comes to the close of his first letter, he shares some important counsel regarding how we should be standing firm in the faith. Tells you to be sober. He gives a warning. Be vigilant. Because you have an adversary, the devil as a roaring lion. Be sober, be vigilant. To be sober, which means to be watchful, self-controlled, not under the influence of this world. We should also be vigilant, to be watchful or awake. Jesus used this word with Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, watch and pray. Amen. In Matthew 26, amen, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. We should be on watch for our adversary, the devil. Amen, who is trying, amen, to deceive, trying to trick, trying to lie, trying to pull down. Amen, Peter 5:9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What a contrast from the previous verse in which we are told about Jesus, amen, who longs to protect us and take care of us. Here we read about the devil who desires to devour you. Amen. In fact, he's on the offensive. He's like a hungry lion stalking his prey. They say if you ever come face to face with a lion, the first thing to remember is that you should never try to run. That would mean certain death. The lion can run much faster than we can. Amen. Experts say the next thing you should do, amen, is turn around and look brave and stare right into the lion's eyes. And if you're successful, he will back down and run away. Well, I'm telling you what, sometimes in the natural that always doesn't work, but I'm telling you what, amen, when you begin to read about the armor, the only thing the armor protects is the front of a man. It doesn't protect the back. Amen. So when we come toe to toe with the forces of hell, amen, we are not to run, but we are to stand, and we are to look him right in the eye, and then we use that name, the name of Jesus, and we say, devil, there's all power in that name. That name has authority over you. That name defeated you. Amen. The cross shows it. An empty tomb proves it. I'm standing here today and saying that we need to look at him and say, devil, I am not backing down. I am not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm standing before you, and in the name of Jesus Christ, you are defeated. Amen. Come on, people. Let's take our authority over hell today in the name of Jesus Christ. Instead of allowing the enemy to push us around. Amen. Your weapon, have it ready. Have it ready to go. This is not only wonderful advice from Peter regarding how to meet the enemy head on. It's also helpful advice, amen, how we should walk and how we should live. Be sober every day of my life. Be vigilant every day of my life. Be watchful every day of my life. Don't run. Don't resist. We need to stand against. Problem a lot of us not able to standing against and being strong is what James was trying to tell us in James chapter 4. It's pretty simple and it's pretty easy. This isn't brain surgery. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I have heard growing up in church the latter part of this verse quoted over and over and over and over and over again, but not too many people want to quote the first part. Resist the devil, Matt, and he'll flee from you. Wait a minute. Well, how is he going to flee from you? How are you going to be able to resist him? You got to do this. You got to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We begin our relationship with God by submitting to him. Okay? By surrendering to him. That's part of our worship. When we come in and we see people worshiping and they got their hands up, that is surrender. We're vulnerable when we do that. Every vital organ in our body is exposed when we lift our hands and saying, I'm surrendering to you. Amen. We are relinquishing ourselves, amen, to the Spirit of God. And we're saying, God, I'm yours. Until you do the first part, don't you dare try to do the second part because it won't work. Luke says this. Jesus said, if he said unto me, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. There's no other way to be a Christian. You can't have one hand in the world and one hand holding on to God. Our wills need to be committed to know the will of God in our life. Submitting to God can sound cold, it can sound hard, it can sound scary, but I want to tell you what, you'll see a change in your life when you do. God calls us to a relationship of love. He calls us to a relationship of trust. How many trust Him today? How many understands? Amen, there's nobody else to go to. There's nobody else to run to. Amen, great. Forgiveness, openness, and all the other markings of a loving relationship. That's what we got to have in Him. And yet He will never force His love upon us. Oh, how wonderful that is. It is a choice I got to make. Amen. Someone once said is, amen, God is not a divine dictator. Amen. He does not coerce. He does not manipulate. You know what He does? He invites. There's a big difference of being a dictator. There's a big difference in trying to coerce somebody. Amen. And then saying, I invite you. There's a big difference in that. In Matthew, He said, come unto me. Arms open wide. Oh, ye that are heavy laden. Amen. Just come unto me. Amen. Come unto me. He's not trying to trick you. He's not trying to coerce you. He's not trying to overcome you. He's asking for you to come. He's inviting you to come. And I'm here to tell you this. If you're going to declare war, amen, on this world, a spiritual war, warfare on this world and on the forces of hell, we better submit ourselves to Almighty God. We better be on our face praying like we've never prayed before. We need to be crying out, oh God, oh God, do a work in my life. Amen. How many today wants God to do a work in your life? Well, if you do, all you gotta do is submit yourself unto Him. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him today. It's not that hard, church. James says this in 4:8. And he said unto the wall, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Or in Matthew, and take up his cross and follow me. How many wants to do that? How many wants to follow Him? You know, following's not that hard. You just got to keep your eye on the guy in front of you. And you never want to say, I can do it better. I can lead better. I can do it better. Let me do it better. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on Jesus Christ. Keep your eye on the cross. Don't ever get your eyes off the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't allow the devil to try to paint a very better picture, a very rosier picture. John says this as Jesus was right, speaking. He said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you accept to abide in me. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then he said this, for without me you can do nothing. Amen. As we are, amen, coming and we are saying, Christ, possess me more and more. I'm allowing my life. I'm opening my life up. I want His character in my life. I want His love in my life. I'm going to die out the self. I'm going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is going to flow from my life. We become more and more and more like Jesus. And when that happens, the devil, amen, will not be able to sneak up on you. I've seen him walk into a church, sit next to people, and they don't even know he's there. Amen. When the devil gets around, your red alert ought to start going, rah, 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 rah. Amen. Danger, 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 danger. Amen. We ought to have our spidey senses out. Our Holy Ghost spidey senses. When the devil gets too close, Brian, amen, something ought to rise up within us. And we ought to say, wait a minute. Amen. Something's wrong. Something that's not right. Amen. What is it? It's got to be the forces of hell. And we need to understand who the devil is. We need to name who the devil is. Is, and we need to stand against who the devil is. Instead of saying, come on in, sit down, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt if I listen to this. It's not going to hurt if I go here. It's not going to hurt if I do this. Jacob was complaining this week. He said, we was going to go see a movie. He goes, they canceled all of our showings so they could show the second group of Shades of Gray. Canceled them. But to put that into theater, how perverted it is. He works with a guy, her daughter worked at a movie theater, and I'm not going to get too graphic here, but she said after the first movie came through, she goes, I didn't want to clean the theater up. She said it was a perverted mess, and I'll let your imagination go forth with that. This is where we're living at. This is where we're at, $46 million that grossed the first weekend. It's nothing but a pornographic movie. All these women who's screaming about Trump doing what he was doing and saying what he was doing to women, and they're flocking to watch that show. What a bunch of hypocrites. This is where we're living. This is where it's at. And if you say anything against that, you're a prude. You're a prude. You're old-fashioned. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. But this is the world we live in. We got to stand against that, church. We got to stand against that. It's not that bad. I've heard people say that all my life. You know, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Ah, it's not that bad. You know, well, I go to church, but I only cuss a little bit. And I go to church. I only get drunk once or twice a weekend. It's not that bad, Eric. It's not that bad watching those TV shows with the F word and the GD word. That word goes right through me. And then for the next person that tells me, excuse my French, I'm going to throat punch them because that ain't French. I'm thinking, that's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. It's okay to do that. But I'm going to stand before you and say, it's not okay to do that. Here's the problem is this. And buddy, the Bible speaks of it very plainly right here in Solomon. He said, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. It's like seeing a hole in the dam. Amen. Like the size of a pencil and saying, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. It's okay. Amen. When nobody patches it. Well, you know what happens over the course of time? The hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden it busts and then there's a major flood. It's not that big of a deal. Oh, it's okay if I do this. It's all right if I do that. Well, I'm going to tell you what. No, it's not. Amen. God's people needs to be pure. We need to be holy. We need to be righteous. Amen. We're living in a perverted world. Who's going to stand up and proclaim the light of the gospel and declare war on hell and its forces? It's got to be the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ, which you and I have to be a part of. If you're saved, well, stand. If you're saved, proclaim. David said, let the redeemed. Well, glory, I'm about to get beside myself. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. We keep our mouth shut, we put our head in the sand, cover our head up with the pillows and say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. It's the little foxes that destroy the vine. I'm going to tell you what, people don't backslide overnight. It's a process. Now they lay out of church for a little bit, they quit praying for a little bit. Going to hang around people they don't need to be hanging around. Listen to stuff they don't need to be listening to. And I've talked to them, and they said, you know, Pastor, I don't even know how I got here. It was that subtle. It was like Delilah rocking Samson. Samson should have never been there in the first place. Should have never been there, Brian. And I've heard preachers say Samson got up, pushed in the pillars, killed more Philistines. What a great victory. That's a tragedy. Samson could have been a judge and a leader of Israel for years and years and years to come. But he allowed his lust to get in the way, and he laid his head right in the lap of Delilah, and he told her his secret. And if you think him standing between those pillars with his eyes gouged out, to me, that's a pathetic sight, because he was a man of God standing there praying, God, give me one more chance. And in that destruction, he killed himself. He could have been a judge for years and years to come. Get your head out of the lap of the devil. If we don't, he's going to rock you to sleep. And before you know it, you're going to be absolutely destroyed. Be aware of the potential problems. Watch out for the little things. They might not seem that important at the time, but they can grow. Get them out of the way. Identify them. Get them resolved. Don't let things get out of control. If there's a breach or a crack, don't sit there and look at it. Fix it! Don't deny it. I'm okay. Oh, no, you're not! I'm doing fine. No, you're not! Be able to look in the mirror and say, no, you're not! Don't sit there and say, I'm okay, when you're not okay, and you know you're not okay. Well, Pastor, what am I doing? Fix it! How do I fix it? The altar! Make your mind up! Man, I've seen people in the natural do great things. I've seen people, you know, with prosthesis run races. I've seen guys climb mountains that I wouldn't even dare to climb. And they're all doing that in the natural. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Well, Sister Bev, we need to act like it. So fix it. We know. You don't have to have me coming running over your house with poster board standing out in front of your house saying, fix it. You need to fix it. You know. You know what needs to be fixed. You know where your shortcomings are. Every one of us has them, including me. We know what we need to do. Well, then let's get about fixing them. Let's do something about it. Don't let them fester. Don't let them lay there. Don't let them grow. Because when it grows, sometimes it gets out of control. Ah, one bed bug's okay. No, it's not. One roach is okay. Oh, no, it's not. That's how we think in the spirit. Ah, it's okay. He's chipping away little by little. He's chipping away at the church little by little. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 6:13, take unto you the whole armor of God. 1 Corinthians 10:4, here it is. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Oh, my goodness, carnality. Man, that'll bury you quicker than anything. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Confronted by the devil and his army, we need to be productive. Can we be productive? We need to be productive. We need to be protected, covering of the power of God, which is fully provided, freely given. It didn't cost you nothing. What'd you give up that was really worth keeping? Well, I lost my friends. Big deal. They were sinners in the first place. Now you're going to turn to witness to them. What did you give up that was really worth keeping? Think about it. Nothing. When you think about the junk that you had before you got saved, what was so important that you could not give it up to have everlasting life, hope, peace, joy, amen, a promise of somebody being with you day and out, day in and day out? What was more important? Well, I want to tell you what, to this group I'm speaking to, nothing, because you all gave it up. I don't understand why people want to hold on to it. I'll tell you what, sin's fun. Oh, yeah, I've been there. I've been driving 100 miles an hour, having a great time. But as I said before, it's like Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Amen. And then what they say, they came over there and they said, oh, my gosh, we can't put him back together. Don't wait to that point. Do something about it now. If it's broke, fix it now. Quit procrastinating. Paul stood before King Agrippa and he said, what? A more convenient season. It ain't no such thing. It's now. Today is the day. Now is the time to get things right with God. He said in 14, in Ephesians 6, stand therefore. It's time we stand. Amen. Having our loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. The belt of truth. The girdle was a belt. You know what it does? Its most immediate and practical use for a soldier was to girdle his military uniform, to hold it tight so he might be free in his movements. It's also provided a place to hang his sword. The picture here is that the truth holds it all together. Amen. The belt, everything connected to the belt. It's like Batman's utility belt. He's got everything right here he needs. He's got all the cool toys right here on the belt. Amen. The belt held it all together. All the other parts of the uniform snapped to the belt. That's where the sword was. Amen. It held everything together, strapped everything together. Amen. And so when you learn what the truth is, what does the Bible say this? Doug, if you know the truth, you know what it will do for you? It will literally set you free. How
How many's free today? How many understands what the truth is? How many understands that I'm serving a big God? Ralph, a big God. I'm serving a big, big, big God today. Now unto him that is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now keep right a-going. According to the power that worketh in us. I believe that power means the power of faith. How many in here believes? My granny used to say it. She used to sit right where you're at. 4 foot something. Love you to death. You're mad. Oh my gosh. She says this. If God can't do it, it can't be done. And that's the attitude I got today. If God can't do it, it can't be done. That's what faith is. Faith is looking at situations that you don't know what's going to happen, believing God can take care of it. Sister Lois, you got faith, God's going to take care of it. And if you don't get that, there'll be something else. Don't you fret it. Don't you worry about it. That's where the devil comes in, sits on our shoulder. Won't you knock him off? You know where he belongs? Under your feet. Not on your shoulder. So if God can't do it, it can't be done. We've got to have that faith. We've got to have that truth. Isaiah says this, for he put righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head, put the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. Cloak. Does that mean he walked where the devils couldn't see him? Isn't Star Trek talking about a cloaking device made him invisible? You walk in the power of God, I believe you can walk right in the area where the devil's at and he won't even see you. I heard the story years ago. I forget the guy's name, but he was smuggling Bibles into Romania when it was communist. I was a kid. He had a Volkswagen. It was stuffed full of Bibles. That the only place he could see was out the front, out that window, and out that window. Couldn't see anywhere else. They were jammed. Sister Bev, he pulls up at the border patrol, getting ready to go into Romania. Brother Eric, he bowed his head. He said, God blind their eyes. They tore that bug apart inside and out and said, go ahead. Don't tell me God can't do it. You begin to declare war on the enemy, you'll find out God can do it. You willing to declare war on the devil, Ralph? We need to declare war on the enemy. He said, I drove right through with 4,000 or 5,000 Bibles in that Volkswagen. They said, going right on through. Don't tell me that God can't do it. You've come too late to tell me God can't do it. As we need to understand, Paul gives more specific meaning as the purpose of the breastplate is to guard also the most vital parts of the body. So Christians protect himself by what? By walking in righteousness. When people are clothed with righteousness, they are unable to be shaken. They're unable to be destroyed by any outside influence. Why? Passions are redeemed and redirected toward God. Don't forget that righteousness is of God. Okay? Don't forget that. It's not my righteousness. It's not the church's righteousness. It's his righteousness that I put on. That allows me to do things that I never thought. The Bible says that they did exploits. Okay, let's start doing exploits through the cross. He looks at us as though we were without sin because of the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians says in 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. The military boots was one of the most important parts of the Romans' equipment. They were designed for marches over every kind of terrain. It has been said that the attention given to the Romans' boots was what made them the army they were. So he uses this, having your feet shod with the preparation of gospel. Don't allow the enemy to break you down. The gospel gives us stability. The gospel gives us the ability to move over rough terrains of our life, over mountain passes, over excruciating pain, through deserts of fear and terror, without you being
broken down. Ephesians 6:16, above all, he says, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith is that shield guarding you against every attack, every attack, every attack that the enemy throws at you. I'm going to tell you right now, there are battles being fought in the upper world for you that you don't have no clue what's going on. He is allowing angels to engage demonic forces coming to destroy you, and they are being fought in the upper world, and you have no idea that God's intervening for you. But I want to tell you what, I know he's intervening for me because I'm still here. I'm not crazy. I'm not nuts. I'm not broken down. I'm not in a corner somewhere, amen, rocking back and forth. I don't need, amen, Prozac. I don't need a psychiatrist. I don't need an upper or a downer. Amen. I got Jesus. He takes care of all of that. So I believe that. I have faith. I believe. I believe it's time that we need to, you know, make a commitment. Do we believe what Romans says? We say these things. If God be for us, who can be against us? Do we believe that? Do we absolutely understand that? Romans says he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? For what could God give that would approach the cost of Calvary? This is the first piece of evidence that God is for you when you look at the cross of Jesus Christ. And then he tells us in Ephesians 6:17, put on the helmet of salvation, because I'm telling you what, it all starts right here. This is where it starts, Eric, right there. The devil comes and bombards your mind. You put the helmet of salvation on, Sister Loretta, everything he tries to... I met her out in the parking lot. How you doing, sister? I'm blessed and highly favored of God. I thought, oh, my God. She just tickled me all the way down to my little toes when she said that. That's having that helmet of salvation on, knowing who you are. I didn't have to question at all. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. I don't care what hell says. I don't care what the devil says. I'm just saying what God calls me. Overcomer, head not the tail, more than a conqueror. Blessed coming and going. Go home and read Deuteronomy 28. If that don't stir you, the spoons fell out of your bowl. Put the helmet on. Now all them fiery darts that come crashing to your brain, all of a sudden they start boom, 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 boom. You are the gatekeeper of your mind. What you allow in, man, that's what you're going to become. You eat garbage, you're not going to live very long. Oh, you'll go to heaven, but you might go to heaven at 40. They had a thing on there, on TV. It was a show called Super Size. They took a guy who was a vegetarian, ate very little meat, some meat, very little meat. They took him, and for 1 month, he ate at McDonald's. Breakfast, lunch, and supper. And Brother Al, he supersized it all. By the end of the month, his organs were failing. Liver was failing. Kidneys were failing. He was about ready to die and croak with a heart attack. I'm telling you what, garbage in, garbage out. You want to take care of yourself? Come to my house and watch my little youngest one over there. He is a nut when it comes to health. I ain't eating that. That ain't healthy. Low carb, low this. Take more pills than Brother Caps takes. They're all herbs. But when he's, I'm telling you what, go look up Joe Barnett. He's in his mid-80s, looks like he's in his mid-60s. Man's taking care of himself his whole life. So we got to understand that what we allow in, that's going to affect how we think. You know, if you got a kid and you scream at your kid for the first 18 years of his life, you're stupid. All of a sudden, you've birthed that into that kid's head, and that kid goes around thinking he's stupid his whole life. And I know your mom and dad don't do that, but I know you're a pretty smart kid. He is pretty smart. But if you speak that and speak that and speak that and speak that, that kid begins to believe that is what he is. And then he gets into life, and you know where he's at? He's on the Dr. Phil show. That's where he's at. Blaming everybody else for his problems. So I'm telling you what. How does your Heavenly Father speak to you? You're highly blessed. You're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You're the head, not the tail. And so he feeds that into your mind, and you allow that to come on. You're the gatekeeper of your mind. Push all that garbage out. Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. Don't listen to junk. Don't listen. Don't watch junk. Don't allow that stuff to enter into your mind. Putting on the helmet of salvation, amen, will allow you to be what you need to be in God. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Amen. And then he said, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. How many of us is ready to do something about it? You know what the church reminds me of? What Isaiah said in 59. What do we do in Isaiah 59? He says we grope. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday in the night. We are in desolate places like dead men. We roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far from us. That's what the church reminds me of the day, is somebody in a dark room. How do you walk in a dark room? That's how the church is stumbling through this corridor of life. Watch them. You don't find too many churches that stand in a pulpit and preach about hell. You won't find too many. Oh, man, let them talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You'll empty it out right there. That tongue stuff ain't for us. That divine healing, irritates me people about that. My goodness, man, Brian, if you can believe in a virgin birth and a resurrection, the rest is a piece of cake. If I believe that Mary had a baby without a man's help, and if I believe that Jesus Christ rose 3 days later, a dead man coming out of the tomb, Ralph, everything else, I'll be a piece of cake. I'll be able to believe in the rest of it without a problem. I believe in divine healing. I believe in what God is. I believe in what God can do. I don't have any holds on God. I don't back God up. I just take God for who he is. I take God for what he can do. We need to understand that. We need to stand on that. We need to believe in that. Jesus said, and I quoted this earlier, just part of it, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them to do what? Occupy till I come. Are we occupying? Have we declared war on the forces of this world? Have we? I don't know if we have or not. I watch this and wonder. I watch this and say, man, what's going on? Why aren't we standing the way we need to stand? Why aren't we doing what we need to do? Why aren't we pushing back the way we need to push back? So I ask the question is, are we at war? I thought about this back when 9/11 happened, after a long and extensive investigation, the 9/11 Commission asked President Bush what could have been done to stop the attacks on 9/11. And he said something so profound. He said this: our enemy was at war with us, but we was not at war with our enemy. You bring that into the church, we're not at war with the devil. Are we? Are we really at war with the devil? Are we really proclaiming war, declaring war on the forces of hell? Are we? He's at war with you. He's at war with you every single day. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to pull you down. It's time, Sister Bev, we declare war. I'm making a declaration of war today. You with me? I'm making a declaration of war today. Ralph, I'm at war with the enemy. I'm at war with sin. I'm at war with disease. I'm at war with oppression. I'm at war with depression. I'm at war with people being bound when they need to be free. I'm at war with everything the enemy stands for. I'm declaring war right now on his demons. Amen. I'm not coming in the name of Kevin Nelson, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I'm coming in the power of his might. Amen. Come on, people. Are you at war with hell today? We need to stand and make a statement. I am at war right now with the devil and every demon in hell. I am at war with you. I am at war with you. Till we do that, we're going to be jostled and pushed and beat up. We're never going to see anything happen. We're never going to see anything taken care of. I want to be at war with him. The Bible says there'll be no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we need to understand that no matter what the devil tries, he cannot cross the bloodline. So you today in your life, And I'm going to get ready to close this message. I've got a bunch of other stuff, but I'm not going to go through it. I've been up here almost an hour. I'll hear about it at the dinner table, but that's all right. But it's time you and I bind together as a church and declare war on hell. Declare war on the heroin epidemic that's happening in Montgomery County. Pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. The violent taketh it by force. Go into the throne room like you belong there and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. I told some of you last week the memorial service we had here a couple weeks ago for John Ward, who had OD'd on heroin, 45 years old, dead. Montgomery County Sheriff was here talking to me after service. He said since January 1st, there's been over 300 ODs in Montgomery County. Bound by that, and the enemy's swooshing them right out. Did they pray? I'm not God, but I don't know that the chances weren't very high. Right out into eternity. Right out into eternity. Standing before God, being judged on what they did. I know God's a merciful God, but I don't want to get down to the point in my life where it's to that point. Sister Lois, I just want to be ready. I want to make my claim right now. I want to make my statement right now. Al, we're declaring war on hell right now. I'm declaring war on sickness. By his stripes we're healed. I'm declaring war on that. I'm declaring war on the mental oppression people have, the depression they're under, the bondage they're under. I'm declaring war on it right now. Your children aren't saved, well, we're declaring war right now on the devil that they're going to be saved. Your husband's not saved, we're declaring war right now that he's going to be saved. I'm not backing up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm just letting the devil know, and I'm putting him on notice right now. I could die before I get home. It don't make no difference. It doesn't change a matter of what I'm saying right this very moment. Right now, I'm declaring war on hell. For our children, for our family, for our community, for our county, for our country. The country needs it bad. Forces of hell out there, them crazy nuts acting the way they're acting, we need to declare war on it right now. There's an insanity of sin that's running rapid in this world. Somebody's got to stand against it. Somebody's got to proclaim liberty. Somebody's got to proclaim justice. Somebody's got to proclaim freedom. Somebody's got to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who's it going to be, Bev? It's got to be us. So we got to stand tall. It's time we stand firm. Are you built on a foundation? A holy foundation. Romans said this, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. What a way to end a scripture. Where's the devil belong, Ralph? Under your feet. And you have the authority and you have the power. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. So, church, let's declare war on hell right now. I'm taking my family back. I'm taking things back in my life. I'm not going to allow you to get in and be like that piece of corn stuck in the back of my teeth that I can't get. That's not happening anymore. I'm going to proclaim liberty and justice in the name of Jesus. You're free. 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 You're free today, Hal. You're free in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I'm declaring war. Church, let's find us a place to pray today. God bless you.